This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
Hi, folks. Welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment brought to you by Alpha Site Logistics. If you're getting ready to go to Imperial Valley and you're doing an event, don't deal with all the bureaucrats. Hook up with Alpha Sites. They've got all they got all the permits. They know how to handle it. Been doing it for over 20 years. Call them 760-352-8383. Tell them you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
That would be Audrey Mason. And we got Ed Stovet in the house.
Hello.
And it's been one of those weeks. I was in Plano, Texas at Toyota headquarters. And I was pimping Audrey, as I always do, for off-road events, because Toyota has not entered in any of the Rebel rallies or the Gazelles or anything.
No, they haven't.
So I had a nice long chitty chat with them. Got to see some new products, some new technology. Went off-road.
I seen you do hot laps.
Yeah, I did hot laps. What a nice track. Man, Eagle Canyon Raceway. It's a privately owned track.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! And then they had an off road track out back, but the tires didn't have enough nabos on them, so we're going around the corners and everything sideways, and couldn't even get up over a limestone pile of rock. The first truck made it, second truck barely made it, and I couldn't make it. I went up and slid off the side, almost rolled it.
What were you driving?
Toyota. That one was a Tundra.
A Tundra truck, yeah.
Four-wheel drive Pro 4. But the problem is the limestone gets so impacted with mud.
Yep.
And the tires were impacted with mud, and they weren't slinging off. But had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Then tomorrow, off to Alaska. Going to go drive the ice road trucker road.
No way. Are you kidding me?
No, yeah.
What fun.
You are so lucky.
Got a Jeep lined up. Going to go do that and spend 6 days there. So it's going to be a crazy next week as well. So
you're going to be back on Sunday?
I'll be here with bells. Like, fly
just
back.
Making sure.
I fly back
Audrey
in.
Audrey loves the hot seat over there.
Yeah, I know. But I'll be flying back in Saturday. Excuse me. But
Jeep do you have lined up for the Ice Road Trucker?
I should look. I left my phone downstairs again. I do that. No, I didn't. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Just watch Facebook. You'll see it all. So what's going on? You got a lot of paperwork.
Oh, we got some stuff. There's some trouble in Moab. There was a, in the local Moab newspaper, somebody wrote a letter to the editor criticizing UTVs. So UTVs are the side-by-side vehicles, Razors, Mavericks, the Yamahas.
Polaris. Yeah.
And they are super popular. I was in a local dealership yesterday, a motorcycle dealership. And normally, this is the spring, and this is when people start buying street bikes, and they have a lot of street bikes. Well, they didn't have a lot of street bikes. They had a lot of side-by-sides still out in the floor. They're super popular. And somebody is complaining about the noise. And this person, I said he, but I don't know the gender. He could be... specifically saying that they're too loud and that they're blaming the rental companies. He says there's like 12 rental companies that rent UTVs. And now there's a little community, a little city of Moab, and then there's a lot of desert around it. that's open for off-road vehicle use.
Which just blows my mind. But Moab has been under attack by the locals, the new locals, which were brought in for basically what I want to call the mountain bike trails and the rock climbing that's out there. But that town was built off of 4x4s.
The minute you eliminate off-roading, that town will dry up.
That's exactly what, and I've only been there with mountain bikes, and it's a phenomenal place. I wished I had a motorcycle when I was there.
It'll dry up because that's the industry, because the original industry was mining, which dried up, and the off-road community saved its butt.
Yeah.
God, you know what?
So he's complaining about the rental companies. Now, I don't believe the rental people change the exhaust pipes on the UTVs.
No, they're going to have a stock
vehicle. Why would they do that?
They're not going to put any upgrades into their vehicles.
Why would they put it? Yeah, they don't want to be offensive.
They're not going to spend the money.
And I'm out in the desert and I see a bunch of these, some of them are quiet and some of them are obnoxiously loud.
Well,
those are not the ones that you rent.
No, those are privately owned
individuals who came out. And I admit that those are annoying. And I would not want those things driving down up and down my street all day.
It's terrible to say, but I almost hope that this lady gets her way. They shut it down and then watch Moab just
blow away.
It'll blow away.
It dries away.
Then
we'll come back. The off-roaders will come back and go off-roading because there won't be anybody there to complain.
I don't want to see that happen.
When you lose a place, boy, is it hard to get it back.
Well, if there's nobody there, if the town, because I'm telling you, I've been to Moab recently.
Yeah.
The only industry
is
off-road.
Yeah.
There is nothing else. They don't have a ski park.
Well, they have mountain bikes, and they have off-road vehicles, jeeps and motorcycles.
But I'm telling you, the bicycles don't bring anything to the table.
You don't think?
And you think the bicycles leave from their hotel room and go from their hotel room and go out riding? Or you think that they load up on the back of their truck or their SUV or their jeep and they haul it out to a trailhead?
We can't. And then they ride right out of our
car. And how much did it cost to do that?
Hardly anything.
Yeah, but you camped,
nothing.
So you went somewhere off-road and camped.
I don't think we paid to camp.
No, you didn't pay to camp. You didn't pay to ride. You didn't pay to go anywhere.
Well,
but it's Utah,
so isn't it? If you're 250 feet off a road, you can camp anywhere.
But the only money income are side-by-side rentals, Jeep tours, and the like.
Well, but anybody who's there goes to the restaurants.
And eats.
Well, yeah, I know, but
some people stay in the hotels.
Yeah, but let's face
it. They go to the store.
Nothing against you bicyclers.
They go to the gas station.
But there's, how much gas do you put in your bike?
Well, your car. I mean, nobody.
But you know what I'm saying?
We drove from San Diego to Moab.
But I'm just saying, it's minimal compared to what the income is derived by off-roading. You know, Jeeps, side-by-sides, you know, the whole inch. I mean, and when you're there, you know, and I don't know how long it's been since you've been there.
It's been a while.
But I am telling you, that town is full. You can drive all over town with a side-by-side with absolutely no restrictions whatsoever.
Really?
There are rentals. I mean, how many did you say there were?
12.
Like 12?
No. There are way more than 12. I mean, from what I've seen. And the town is, I mean, the town is being it reminds me of Pismo Beach and Oceana Dunes.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same mentality. Because once you close down that, once you close down that, guess what? That town's going to go away.
Yep. They don't look at the economic factor behind it.
No,
and yet they claim that the other brings all the economic.
Well, of course. Wow. That if they... And I got to tell you, the manufacturer, if you have an off-road vehicle, that's destiny. And when the manufacturer comes in, they rent hotels, they rent restaurants, and the average press event.
Thousands of dollars.
That's good for the economy.
$3 million investment into the community. We were just at Plano, Texas. And I was talking to one of the organizers, and I said, what's this little shindig running you? He says, close to 2.5 to 3 mil.
Wow.
So let's just take it away from Moab. Fine. Who is this lady? Is she, do you have any idea what her title is? Is she a politician, or is she just a grumpy old lady?
Just a grumpy person who lives there.
Can we just call it a Karen?
I would just take her. I'd take her to SeaWorld. Okay. I got a perfect ride for that lady. Well, all right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. It's called SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Wayne Miller, Mr. Tire.
Wayne Miller, Mobile Tire out in Santee. If you need new tires, you got a nail in your tire, he's there to help you out. You're stuck on the side of the road, he's got those mobile trucks. Give him a call at 619-596-2800.
All right, so we were talking about Moab, and we have a lovely lady that wants to get rid of the off-road community out of Moab.
Specifically the UTVs, yes. The side-by-sides. And you know, I mean, there's they just say, this person is saying they're unacceptable, they should not be allowed there. But, of course, there should be a compromise that we should manage those things properly. Because maybe it's not a great thing that they drive through the streets.
I mean, every car in the state of California has to reach a noise, whatever. You can't have, you know, you can't go by those guys that have the big subwoofers or anything like that. They get written a ticket. Why can't we do the same thing here when it comes to this? Why can't you
see side-by-sides in our neighborhood? Like, they don't drive around San Diego.
Well, it's different rules in Utah than it is here. I mean, that's basically open desert.
And you can drive around that. Outside of the community, there's the desert. You go nuts out there, but in town, I can respect people don't want loud vehicles. They don't want like these.
Yeah, but in Moab, driven, you drive your side by side everywhere. You don't. That's your vehicle to get to and from in town. Let's just talk noise mitigation and how can we address that.
Let me ask you this: do you have this woman's name? I don't want you to say it on air, but do you have her name?
I think I have it in the article. Here.
Why don't you reach out to her? And offer her airtime.
That'd be fun.
To get her, I mean, and we're not going to beat her up. You know, we're not going to treat her negatively.
No.
But I want to hear.
That's a great idea.
I want to write that down because you always forget. I want to hear her side of the story because she might have some legitimate complaints. Because when I was there, I almost ran over one of these guys. He cut in front of me and pulled into the. Where this little restaurant is, spun a couple donuts, and then parked it.
Well, see, that's the two-person a-hole that we don't need and that we don't want. We need respect.
West,
you got to educate.
They think they're out in the Wild West. Know. They can do what they want.
That's right.
And we need to educate them.
I mean, we have the same issue right here. When you get to the bottom of the 8 in Ocotillo, you feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere. It feels like it's not a big town at all.
You can get away with anything.
The locals there, you know, don't do it in town. Go outside of town. It's disrespectful.
Respectful.
Yeah,
be respectful of people.
I'm right there with you. So like I said, it'd be interesting, and I would highly emphasize the fact that
we can get this person to call in.
Just say, look, all we want you to do is present your side of the story. We may ask you a couple of questions, maybe something for you to think about, but for her to do this. This wasn't overnight. Something had to have kept building up and building up and building up and building up to the point where she just said enough is enough.
You know, I've seen similar news articles out of this, and I kind of think it's the same person because the complaint started, a year ago, I think, is a year and a half ago, I think.
I think you're right.
The complaints in Moab, and they started new legislation. They don't want side-by-sides in town anymore. They don't want them. Yeah,
that was legislation.
Yeah,
that
happened a year ago. So I think it's the same person that is still trying to put pressure. I'd have to look back at the articles that happened and the legislation that was trying to be pushed through to stop having side-by-sides in town. But to me, you're in a desert town. That's what you do in a desert town. You don't need to drive it. You don't need to jump into your car to drive across town. You jump into your side-by-side so then you can hit a trail on the way back.
But you got to
being out there.
But you got to be respectful. You got to be respectful.
100%. So it's all about the etiquette.
Are camping outside of town with their RVs or whatever? Can they drive those things into town to get food?
Yes.
Or to get parts?
Yes.
Or to get fuel?
Yes.
That seems reasonable.
Yes.
Well, it seems reasonable to me, but they should be respectful when they do it.
It's
and apparently not, they're not being respectful.
Well, again, we don't know. See, yeah. we don't. I mean,
we're
I could.
Not there. I'm not there.
I was
I'm
there.
In San Diego. I'm not.
I was there with Jeep, and you know, they told us in the press meeting. He said, "Be very careful of side by sides."
And it's really sad that you have to say that.
Right.
But that industry is such on a huge boom right now that mm-hmm. people don't understand. You know, with COVID, everybody wanted to get out.
Just see how stupid expensive those things are.
Basic.
So much.
$20,000, $30,000, $40,000
Base price.
That's just a beginning.
That's not even a turbocharger.
No.
So you spend $30,000 on one. Now you need a trailer.
And a truck.
And a truck to pull it.
Yep.
And a place to put it.
Yep.
And insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
And a mechanic. Yep. And registration.
But yeah, see
it's
if
a
you
lot to own those things.
See if you can get a hold of
fun.
Her.
I'll do that this afternoon. I'll find this person.
Yeah,
these side-by-sides, some people have a lot of fun, and some people don't. There is a motorcycle rider that I'm acquainted with who had a bad accident in Big Bear recently.
Memorial Day weekend.
Broke his eye socket, his nose, his kneecap, hitting one head on, and the guy tried to leave.
Yep.
And his friends chased him down, and it was just unpleasant.
His son. That unfortunate
That's the one
incident
I, when
that
I did
happened.
That, when I took the day off and got videoed in Ocotillo Wells,
yeah,
those
to
are the
do
guys
the,
that came.
The State Parks I Ride With Respect campaign.
ironic, huh?
It's very ironic that, yeah.
Somebody
and,
rode without
And I'll
respect.
Do a shout-out, huge shout-out. He's not going to give up our industry. One of the last things he said on his post was, you know, as soon as I heal, I will be back on two wheels. So huge shout out to Dustin Ewig and Kristen Conrad and their son, Dylan. Ride with respect, ride with, he knew he was going out on a big weekend. They mm-hmm. decided to go up to Big Bear. He decided to take the time. He rode in front of his son and they rode slow. They weren't hauling butt. They were going slow. They were on an off-road trail. And a side-by-side was hauling butt through this trail and hit him head on.
Through a blind corner.
On a blind corner, you know, and so
that's terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, I hit a side-by-side head on my dirt bike in a Tectonic Gorge. And we saw each other and we braked and it was a light tap. But boy, that scared me. It scared me bad. I had to just pull over and relax for a while.
Well, you never know which way they're going to go. Are you going to go left and they're going to go right? Or are you going to go, you know, I mean, it's.
There's so
well,
much that
it was
that
only
can
a,
happen.
It was just two tracks. It's not like a passing lane or anything.
No. If he's coming your way and you're, you know,
he's
you guys could
go
the
right.
same, well, you can go to the
well,
same side.
It wasn't very wide.
Yeah.
Hit him?
Huh?
Did you hit him?
Yeah.
So, well.
Yeah, I hit him. I wasn't going very fast. We'd slow down a lot, but there was no damage. Except Jeez. To my shorts.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Dustin. He's got
so
a long road of recovery in front of him. He's got plastic surgeon. You know, he's got an ear, nose, throat guy he's going to have to see. He's got a broken eye socket, broken nose.
I don't know if you saw the picture of his bike. The triple clamps broke. The whole front end was laying like parallel to the motorcycle.
Broken half. His
snapped.
How fast was he going?
Bike was literally snapped in half.
I don't know.
Well, if you snap them in half, you got to be moving.
And he wasn't going that fast, but the side-by-side was moving.
Yeah. So.
And Big Bear, for those of you who want to go out there in Big Bear, there are some off-road vehicle OHV trails, but most of the routes in the forest are street legal. And I don't know where this took place, but a lot of people take their side-by-sides on trails they're not supposed to. So talk to the forest and get a map and figure out where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're talking about mountain bikes in Moab, and I've mountain biked there, and it's an amazing place to ride a mountain bike. An environmental group called Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, the people who sued State Parks for Ocotillo Wells
PEER.
So PEER recently sued the National Forests regarding electric bicycles. They're saying the forests are not doing enough to sort out how electric bikes should go. And what's funny about that is I was mountain biking yesterday in San Clemente Canyon, Merriam Bear Canyon, along Highway 52, and an e-bike came towards me, and he was going really fast. And it was actually kind of scary.
You got to imagine the torque that comes out of those things. They got way more torque than what even your motorized dirt bike has.
Like normally you, on a human-powered bike, he'd be going 10 or 12, and he was probably going 20.
Wait till you get on a zero when you can go 70, 80 miles an hour.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. This was just a mountain bike. We were a mountain bike. So I kind of get their point that these things need to be managed. And I'm not opposed to proper management. I don't want to say, oh, they can't go there anymore. But we need to really look at these kind of vehicles.
Explain what's your mindset of manage? I mean, if it's no different than a motorcycle, except it just has an electric propulsion unit.
Well, but they are different than motorcycles. They're small, they're light, they're not that fast.
Okay, but...
And there's different levels of e-bikes. For instance, the lowest level, they only have electric power when you push on the pedals. So there's a sensor on the drivetrain, and when you push on the pedals, you get a little extra.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's other ones that have a throttle, so your feet are sitting, are not turning, and you give it gas and you go. So it's like it's a small motorcycle.
Okay, so what's the negativity of having them out there? What's the reason?
Pierre is saying environmental damage. I'm saying that it's scary to walkers and bicyclists.
Yeah.
See, I don't see environmental because they don't. There's no environmental anything, really, when you come right down to it.
I'm not saying Pierre is right, but...
Yeah, I'm just
questioning.
But you look
at the wildlife, and this thing comes flying by quickly. Is it different than a mountain bike? I don't know.
Is it different than a motorcycle?
So what Pierre is asking is that they want an environmental analysis. There's a law called the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, and when they talk about doing the environmental work relative to something like a national forest or they want to do a project, they have to do the environmental work on a national level. That's called NEPA. And Pierre is saying that the forests need to do NEPA regarding electric bicycles.
Yep.
And I don't really disagree with them. It'll slow down, but in the long run, we'll figure out which kind of bikes can go where. And I'm not a fan of electric mountain bikes and electric bicycles. I mean, I think they're okay for other people, but I just personally, I like to ride a real bicycle or I like to ride a real motorcycle. And kind of mixing them, it's kind of a weird
thing. Well, some people have physical situations to where they can't ride a bicycle.
I'm not saying that they're not good, that they should go away. They just don't suit me personally.
Right, right, right.
Well, my mom just got one of the electric bikes, the trikes. And so this is one where, you know, it does have the hand powered. So it's not while you're...
It's got a throttle. Not,
yeah, it's got a little throttle to it. It doesn't go over 15 miles an hour. And she used it in Mammoth and the Twin Lakes. You know, she rode it around the campground and had a good time with it. Didn't go very far, but helped her run her dog and do other things. And she is a go-getter. She does not stop. I mean, she weed whacks our hill. She does all, you know, she does not stop. She does way more. Sometimes I'm like, man, you make me feel like I don't do enough.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want to do just as much as you when I'm your age. But she, you know, taking it around certain trails up in Mammoth and different things, you know, same OHV trails.
They get people out on the road commuting those things that they would have otherwise been in a car.
She never would have been out and exploring.
You can charge it for 40 cents and you can go 5 or 10 miles back and forth.
Well, left likes them. Left is a very big fan.
I don't dislike them. I just don't personally want to use one. And I agree with Pierre that we should really look at their effects in the forest. Which trails should they be allowed on? You know, okay. Of course they can go on the motorcycle.
Let's take a break and let's come back and let's kind of walk that a little bit farther down the road and find out what are these electric bikes doing that's causing Pierre to request this type of study. Right here on SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Well, if you're looking to refi or maybe get a little bit of mortgage help, PRMI Mortgage is the guy. Chris Wiley, tell him about it.
Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. He's here for any of your home loan needs. If you need an FHA loan or need to refinance your home, he's the honest guy here to help you out. He'll be truthful if you're better off where you're at, whether or not you need to actually move forward and get a new loan. Give him a call at 619-722-1303.
Absolutely. Hey, check out www.ssorm.com. That's Sherry and Steve Kukula, and they founded San Diego Off-Road Magazine. Now they're online. And let me tell you what, if you're an off-roader or a motorcycle rider or an adventure person of any kind, you really, really need to check this site out. It is so informative, and it's fun. And it, and I mean, she's always looking for things to do to engage not only the adults but the kids. Ed even writes a couple articles a month out there. But if you're getting new into the off-road community and you, maybe you don't know where to go or what's open, what's closed, www.ssorm will hook you up. All right. So we were talking about e-bikes causing a little bit of havoc. And I guess it's because they're going on off-road trails.
No, non-motorized trails.
They're going everywhere.
They're going everywhere.
They are everywhere out there. And Pierre is asking for them to be sorted out and just to be looked at and allowed to go in reasonable places. It needs to be properly sorted.
Because they're not considering, the lower end of it, the pedal assist or the lowest end of an electric bike. Because they're saying, oh, you're just on a mountain bike. It's just a minor pedal assist. So it's not an electric bike or a motorized bike.
I've ridden a high-end mountain bike, electric mountain bike, and boy, do they go. Like, there's not very much motor or battery volume on it. It's just, it has a bigger tube. And man, that thing really goes.
So what are they? What are they complaining about? Yeah.
So there's
it's not like exhaust noise.
There's two kind of complaints that they have. One is its effects on the natural environment, and animals.
How could that be?
Well, scaring animals or
it doesn't make any noise.
They do. The tires on the ground make noise when you're really moving, like, and there's gravel.
Now, what trails are we talking about?
I'm a tortoise person, let me just interject a tortoise in there, okay? Have this big, scary thing go by. It just shoots by you real fast. Right. I'm a tortoise. I'm going to let go.
And it scares the tortoise.
Yeah, I'm going to relieve myself. Well, now then I then die because I can't get to water fast enough or anything else. And now I just kill.
So what trails are they talking about? What else goes on these
national
trails?
National forests.
What else goes on these trails?
So people that walk, people that bicycle, people that ride motorcycles,
horseback,
street legal.
Okay, stop
ATVs.
Right there. Stop right there. I'm just being the devil's advocate as well.
Yeah.
So you got a motorcycle that goes by, scares a tortoise, he pees his pants and dies. Okay. But if a motorcycle goes by with exhaust, tires are making the same noise, if not more, because it's going way, way faster.
Yeah.
So the turtle's not going to pee and die?
No, it's the same thing.
So no one's saying that these vehicles can't go with the motorized routes.
Okay.
But at what level can they continue to go down? Like on a hiking trail, on a hiking bicycle trail?
That's like riding down the sidewalk. You know, you're not allowed to ride a bicycle, theoretically, on the sidewalk.
You're supposed to be in a bike lane.
I think
supposed
you
to
can.
Be in a bike. No, you're supposed to be
you
in a bike lane.
Can't ride a bicycle on the sidewalk.
No. Yeah.
No, you're supposed
to be in
bike
lane. Trouble.
Well, of course, you never follow the rules anyway. But the point is, see, I'm just trying to make heads or tails. There's another one we should call up and talk to these people and say, all right, give us your side as to why. And okay, having it looked at, who's going to look at it?
So one, they just designated them. So they just designated electric bikes as a motorized bike. So even though it's a battery operated, they just designated
it. Well, electric motor is electric motor. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So you could
exactly.
get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I can see that.
It's motorized.
So it's just one area of that group that hasn't been looked at.
They're talking about making a different category of routes. So right now there's human powered trails and there's motor engine powered trails.
Yeah.
And they're talking about making trails that are.
Okay.
In
so they're riding their motorized vehicle on a pedestrian trail.
On a non-motorized trail.
Okay.
A hiking trail.
So theoretically, I think it would be a lot easier if you put a sign up that says foot traffic only.
Well, basically, that's what they're doing. They literally are putting signs up that says no e-bikes, no pedal assist. Because the pedal assist ones are not considering themselves alike.
Right.
Because I have to pedal my bikes,
okay,
which makes it go.
Who's going to administer the law?
Well, this is for Forest Service. So this would be the Forest Rangers.
Oh, they don't have anything else to do.
There's Forest Law Enforcement, and then there's County Sheriffs.
So we're
those are the two that would would do that.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. It just seems to me like they have so much on their plate.
Well, these vehicles are relatively new. These electric bicycles have only last couple of years have gotten good enough and popular enough to become a problem.
And they're really
And these
growing.
People are, this group peer is saying we need to sort out how these things go in the forest.
Yeah.
So I don't like this organization, but I don't think this is a bad thing they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I get it needs a classification. I get that it needs to have a designation. I get we need education and management. I mean, those are all things. I don't want to see closures. I don't want to see anything along those lines. Mm-hmm. I think it will help when it gets a new classification to bring in those volunteers that, you know, was mentioned in the article.
Yeah, that's right.
I do get that one of the things that Pierre talked about or was talked about in the article that I read was the grant funding, because you then now have reclassifications of trails, which then changes what money can be associated with that trail, because if a trail goes from being a non-motorized trail to a motorized trail, you are then limited in the funds that you can withdraw from.
And the grants you were getting before are not eligible for the new designation.
Trail. Yeah, new designation. So
and they were talking about RTP grants, recreational trail program.
Yes.
And in California, by the way, the people that administer the state parks, the green sticker grants, they also administer the RTP. In other places, it's separate, or there's people that just do RTP. But in California, the same people. So Sixto Fernandez and his friends in state parks. Sixto's the grants manager.
Yes,
I've talked to him before.
Yeah.
He's going to retire, by the way. I'm kind of bummed.
Yeah, he's good at his job.
He's good at it. And, you know, like, I've developed a relationship with him.
Yes.
I've been writing comments all these years, and he knows me, and I call him, and, like, he'll, you know, work with me. And so he's leaving, and, like, start fresh with someone new. I hate that. That's like with the National Forest.
Well, hopefully he'll leave a good mark for you to his predecessor. Yeah,
I know. Do you think they actually like write notes? Okay, this guy was good. This
oh, I
look
would.
Out for
I
this
would
person.
Create a rule
look
book
out for this
my
one.
Position. If I was in that position, I would definitely have, you know, what you came into and received, and then what you would leave for the next one. You have to give,
like,
some sort of direction to who's coming in.
I had a good thing with Tom Zale at El Centro BLM. He retired, and
yeah.
I'm trying to work my way into the next guy. And then Lindsay at Cleveland National Forest. Remember her?
Yeah.
And she left. We did cleanups for her, we helped her, and then she left. And
it's always tough. I mean, because nobody stays forever. It's just like
Audrey and I, we stay forever.
Well, yeah.
And with SDRSC, you know, Audrey's been, I don't know, 12 years or something.
Well, that's because you're not getting paid.
We volunteer.
It's volunteer.
There
is difference between.
Yeah, if they paid me, I would leave.
This is our passion.
Well,
yeah.
it's difference between a paid person
and. So
it's
like
what
with
we're passionate about.
With Lindsay, it's weird because she moved from San Diego to Las Vegas. Like, she moved, I don't know, do you want to leave San Diego, your home, and all the people and everything? I don't know.
If that was the case, you'd be in Sacramento and you'd be a lobbyist.
Maybe. Or I'd be in Moab where there's endless trails.
No, because there's nothing there.
I want to be the mayor of Moab. I need to inspect the rim trail.
It's going to be a desert hole. There's some really nice resorts up there too, which will all go belly up if this comes to fruition.
Can you imagine running an off-road resort out there?
Well, yeah, but then it's if this little lady gets in there and throws everybody out, then what are you going
to
do?
We're gonna be talking to them next
because we
week.
Were talking about it even when I was out there with Jeep. We were discussing the fact that there were some people in town that did not want this to happen.
There was legislation in to make it so that,
right.
that you keep the 4x4s out of town. And it was like, well, that's what the town is for. The town is to give them their resources.
So the city made an ordinance, like stopping the Jeeps from coming in or whoever. And the state, like slapped
squashed
them down
yeah.
and said, no, the cities can't make an ordinance over a state rule. And the state said, these vehicles can go in there.
Well, the land, I think, belongs to the state. It doesn't belong to the city.
The land outside is federal.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
The land inside, it's private.
Yeah, but there's no hills or real cool trails. All the trails are on the federal.
They carve out a chunk of land. This is going to be the city.
But I mean, the federal land is where all the off-roading goes.
Yeah,
it's not the city land. Yeah.
Yeah.
And those, you know, if those darn off-roaders would be respectful, if they're going to go into Jack in the Box or McDonald's or gas or Denny's or whatever, if they would just be calm, drive down the road nicely, quietly,
but they're
slowly.
They're kids. They're not old people. They're kids. They're
kids. There's some people that are older than kids that are disrespectful.
Well, like I said, I was there. I watched it. I seen it in action. You know, I seen, you know, and I actually seen a group of part of a tour, you know, and like 20 of them came in, you know, and I mean, and they didn't respect any turn signals. They didn't respect any stoplights, and they were all coming in to fuel up to go back out.
I mean, think about that. 20 vehicles coming in. They're spending a lot of money. Oh, we're going to buy gas. We're going to buy food.
It's insane. And what if you break one of them and it's your own private? I mean, there's shops there that work on them.
20 of those things. Each one has two people. 40 people buying lunch or dinner. I mean, that's great for the economy.
Then
they're shooting themselves in the foot.
There was a business there that sold nothing but clothing accessories for the 4x4 industry.
Yeah.
And they make a living.
Make
a good living.
Just go check the prices of that stuff. It's you know, but then again, I'm really curious to see what this lady's real problem is, and she might be able to pull it off if it's a legitimate complaint.
I hope not.
I hope not too.
But you know, at the same time, we've rented a side by side, put that Bluetooth Costco speaker in that you get for $150 that's battery operated, and had that thing just blaring.
I'd blow a hole in that. I'd shoot a hole right through it. I'll fix you.
We'll go down to the hill. We'll put a little bonfire at the hill. We'll blast our music.
And we want the town to hear Inagata Davida.
No, we're in the middle of the desert. But I'm just saying, you know, I took my Bluetooth speaker because we rented a side by side and didn't have
one of those speakers.
Yeah. They're pretty awesome. They're loud. They're great.
I gave mine away.
You can hook up and do karaoke.
I gave mine away. I'll tell you a great story off here.
Draw the line at karaoke.
Let's take a quick break.
We got to take a quick break. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This is SDORC Dirt Radio. And we really want to thank K&J Termite and Pest Control. Want to keep your house nice and clean and tidy? These folks take care of you just like they take care of family. Call them 619-441-7378. Tell them you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio and thank them profusely. And, you know, don't wait till the bugs take over because they've been here longer than you and I. Go to K&J Termite and Pest Control. All right, so it's been a rather interesting show today. Everything from e-bikes to you know,
UTVs making trouble.
Karens.
My favorite. I need to get to Moab. I'm going to retire in a year.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm going to go to Moab.
You got that all figured out?
Sounds good.
Yeah. My first trip is going to be to Nepal. Chris and I are going to rent motorcycles in Nepal and ride around
for
a month.
Awesome.
Hopefully that'll work out good. I'm excited. They ride on the right side of the road.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or wait, the opposite side. We ride on the right. They're on the left.
No, I don't think so. They drive the same.
I think they're on the other side. They're more British. And I'm kind of scared of that.
Don't be scared. It'll be fine.
Take me a week to
get
used to
it.
I rode in England before. I was scared.
What are you going there for?
Nepal?
Why?
To go look around. To go ride. All the roads are dirt.
That's right. I completely forgot you've been on all the off-road dirt roads here in the United States.
I've covered every road. I need a new place.
I made it perfectly.
Chris went there and he said it's a wonderful place. That once you get there, that the food and lodging is cheap. The people are nice. The roads are interesting. Go up high altitude. How high do you want to go?
Okay, well, don't call us if you can't get back.
Help, I'm stuck on a hill.
Don't go by yourself again.
No,
I don't know why people don't want to experience. I don't know why you guys don't want to experience the U.S.
I do want to experience.
No, you do not.
I'll be all over the place.
I would, you know.
Moab, that's U.S.
I would go to every state park in the United States before I went anywhere out of country.
You know, Chris, the guy I'm going with, he contacted Guinness Book of World Records and said, I want to go to every national park in the country. And I want to get a record for doing
it
the fastest.
He said it's already been done.
He did it. No, he was the first.
Really?
And he got Harley to give him a motorcycle to use, the new Pan American, the dual sport, the first Harley that I approve of.
See, this is a guy that thinks like I think. This guy thinks like I think.
And he says,
thinks,
I don't have to hurry because I'm the first one, so whatever I do is going to be the record.
He'll be ahead of it. No, I'm. Well, it's funny you should say that because a buddy of mine, Tom Cotter, I just finished reading his book, Barn Finds, and he goes all over the United States with a 39 Ford Woody, and he goes into old wrecking yards. He looks in people's backyards. Doesn't necessarily buy anything.
Yeah.
Just takes pictures for Haggerty on YouTube. So I'm thinking, going, what if I could get Haggerty to give me a crew, and we went all over the United States to car and motorcycle museums?
That would be cool.
And chronicled, didn't buy anything, but just, it's one of the reasons I'm going to Alaska. My cousins talked me into going because there's a just unbelievable museum up there, and that's why I'm going to go. But I'm just saying, those are the kinds of things you need to think about, you know,
well,
when you
I want to go to Alaska. I want to ride my motorcycle to the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, so I'll tell you all about it.
That'll be I think I want to know the museum. Is it a car museum?
It's a car museum. I'll give you all those. Well, are you on Facebook?
Occasionally.
Well, if you friend me, you'll be able to watch because I'm going to chronicalize, you know, what I'm doing when I go up there.
I'll make sure I friend you on Facebook.
Yeah, I just had a friend go to Italy, couldn't get back because one of the I think somebody got COVID. Okay, and then I had another one go to the Bahamas, ended up having to stay there for over a month.
Oh, too bad.
Went broke. Well, went broke because they had to pay for the hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Can't camp on the beach?
No. They had to stay in the room, and it was two guys. One guy got it, so they had to stay for 2 weeks or a week. Then they're getting ready to leave, then the other guy got it, and he had to. And they almost went broke. And the ones in Italy, they had to use every airfare mile they could get just to get back. And they have a business that they have not been able to facilitate, and it's a newspaper. So, yeah.
Wow.
I like it in the U.S.
Okay, well, I may stick around here.
I would for a week or two anyway.
Want to ride to Cabo and back?
I want to go to Scotland and ride all around Scotland.
Well, I would like to go to Scotland.
We had Awesome Bob on here, Bob Webster from Scotland. He comes in. He owns a few different.
Well, if you know somebody, you definitely want to go back.
That makes
over
it way easier. Then it's affordable.
Oh yeah. We're going to stay at his house, and then he owns like 12 different Land Rovers and Discoveries, and so he's going to put me and my husband KJ in each of our own off-road vehicles, and we get to go have
some fun.
We're supposed to go this year. We were supposed to go in 2020. We had our tickets, and then COVID happened. I'm still debating whether or not we want to go this year because of the whole political climate and how things go. If they, you know,
we'll see how it calms
Scotland
down.
Was one of the ones that barely opened up after. So, that's
oh really?
Just, yeah.
With
yeah.
your luck, no, your luck, you're not.
No, I don't think there's.
I know, Audrey, and your luck. Out of control, dude.
Help. I won't be home for a while.
I mean,
they don't have public land in Scotland.
Talk
no, everything
about
is privately owned.
Every inch of that place
every
is
inch.
Private property.
Talk about the Guinness Book of Records. It's Audrey Mason.
She's there's a lot. There's records waiting. All we need to do is make the category, and Audrey, you'll fit right in and get the record.
I mean, every time we turn around, she tells us a story, and it's like, really?
You know,
I couldn't even make up a story like that. The
no
ones
way.
We can't talk about
we,
right now.
We don't
now.
Talk about it on the radio.
I have
but
several head issues. Let's just put it
no, you got, well, you got issues.
You got your head and you have your family.
No, your family is.
Your crazy family. If it's not one thing, it's another.
You know, I don't even know. I can't even explain it. We need our own reality show.
Like,
I mean,
no, you go,
my mother-in-law said it.
You need to get that Ancestry 23 and find out what in the hell started all this insanity.
Oh, I did. It's pretty awesome.
I bet it's pretty.
It's pretty. You know, my husband was like, you said you were Sicilian. You get your Ancestry DNA back
and
it
Sicilian?
Comes back. I'm like, I'm not lying. When I say I'm that crazy Italian, I'm literally that crazy Italian.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
why you can't talk without your hands moving.
Oh, gosh, no.
Handcuffs.
You don't even look Italian.
Oh, thank you.
Because your nose is tiny.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that would be my mom and my dad. My mom, I've got that 50-50, basically, European. I'm half German, half Italian.
Well, that's where your temper comes. That's where your temper comes
from. That's great.
Oh, yeah, my German temper. Yes. Yeah. You have no
and
idea.
Italian.
My aggressiveness, my ego. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. The ambition to go everywhere and do everything and never give up. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it. So what are you working on?
I'm just finding out who's calling in on the motorsport show. What parent would name their daughter Peyton?
A lot of them.
What name?
It's a very popular name.
American Peyton. Factory.
Were we going to start on that or no?
The Desert Tortoise Conservation Plan?
We got 2 minutes.
Well, on the 15th, there's a meeting on the Desert Tortoise General Conservation Plan.
Yeah.
So I'm registered, and I told Amy about it. Amy Granite's going to be on, and Randy Bannis is going to be on. Randy runs Friends of Jawbone and Friends of El Mirage.
Yes.
And both of those OHV areas are in desert tortoise habitat. Yes. So he's interested, and I'm interested. So we're going to see what they're going to do. They're making a plan to help save the desert tortoise. I think they're upgrading the plan. I think the current plan is really old, so they want to update it. And they're going to be taking comments from the general public, and they're going to sort of form a plan.
So when
I
it
need
comes
to be
to this,
a part of it.
It's pretty scary when it comes to what they're going to do for the desert tortoise and how
there's a lot
they
of
do.
Land we could lose out there.
There's a lot of land we can lose for the desert tortoise. I mean, and the way that they spend our tax funds for conservation for mm-hmm. it. I mean, just drive up the 395 and look at the 200 miles.
How much does tortoise fence cost?
18-inch fence that goes through. What is it? It's it's 200 and something for every 12 inches, right?
Oh, I don't know the price, but it's a lot of money.
I don't know.
It's like way more money than you would think.
Millions of dollars up
to put a little fence along the highways and the roads so that they don't. And they're cool critters. You know, a 100-year-old desert tortoise is about a foot in diameter, foot long.
Yeah.
And they just walk around. And they only come out in the hot months. In the months, the cool months when we like to go to the desert, they're hibernating.
Yeah,
and
they should.
We
just
don't run
start
into them very often.
Out in May,
so they're out there.
Late April, Easter on.
I've seen a few of them out there, and it's just startling that this living thing is out there in the desert. It's just crazy.
All right, hey, join up with SDORC.org. $25 a year, you'll have more fun than you can imagine. You don't need to be an off-roader; you just need to be somebody that supports living on the outside, enjoying the territories, help them every way, shape, and form. You can help, you know, get involved with all kinds of really cool events throughout the year. That's SDORC.org. All right, this is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.